Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey, brand journalist, and the Better Software Company. The Better Software Company is everything you need to take control of franchise operations with a software solution that does it all. Control your brand, support your franchisees, track leads, and take your sales and customer service to the next level with a CRM designed specifically for franchises. The Better Software Company believes that building franchise success means making it easy for franchisees to be successful. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Joining me today is Jan Spence. She's an international speaker, author, and consultant. And today we're talking about talking. Welcome, Jan. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It was so nice to meet you here in Chicago. I guess it's been a couple of months now at a conference that I had the pleasure to speak at, and you were speaking, hosting, emceeing, you were pretty much doing everything at that show. It was a great show, and I really thought, wow, this is somebody who I want to have on and have her tell her story and maybe give us some communications tips.
Well, thank you, Jack. It was a lot of fun and so great to connect with you, and so impressed that you responded to my late night email, I think at 10 or 11 at night, saying, hey, if you can show up a few minutes early, come see me speak. I'd love for you to catch just a glimpse of who I am and what I'm about. And you were kind enough to do that. So it was your session was a hit as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I always tell business associates and friends that if you really want to catch me via email about 10:30, 11, 11:30 at night, that's really when I'm checking the email live and in person and responding right away. I think we call that wine 30 is the wrap up part of the business day, right?
I love it.
Before we get into talking more about email and communicating and phone calls and all of that great stuff, give us a little bit of your background. What's your story?
I have grown up in sales. So I started my sales career at age 10 when I started selling donuts for summer camp. I caught the bug then. I will never forget sitting at the kitchen table, and my mother had given me a list of all the neighbors and church members and folks to call when we were selling Krispy Kreme donuts, and we would deliver them that Saturday. So I started dialing the numbers, and I would ask people, you know, we're going to summer camp. I'm raising money. Would you like to buy a box of Krispy Kreme donuts? And the answers would be yes, yes, no, yes. And so my mom walked in and she stopped me and she said, try this. Instead of asking them, would they like to buy a box? Ask them how many boxes they would like. And so I changed my script. I changed what I said. And like magic, the answers were 2, 1, 3, no, 5, 2. It was that drug of knowing that the way that I communicated differently by asking a question in a different way would change another human being's response was like finding out you have a superpower.
It is a superpower. And it's amazing how different things go when someone actually starts doing that at a very early part in their career, or in your case, when you were 10 years old. But you know, there's something about making that connection with someone, but also asking for the business that is just such a lost art anymore.
It's so true. And I think I learned at that early age to not have fear to pick up the phone and just ask people, like you said, ask them for the business.
Yeah.
And I carried that a little later in life. I ended up selling vacuum cleaners door to door and just did what they told me to do. They had a process. The process was proven. And I just followed the process and was actually making pretty doggone good money for a teenager just out of high school, living on my own, selling vacuum cleaners. And
wow.
And then it led to, you know, a big national account. I ended up consulting with Walmart, Pillsbury, Frito-Lay. So, but I all got that little start right there at that kitchen table. So the power of words and how we communicate is can make a difference in the impact in our lives. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about the power of those words and even less what the words are, but more where those words are coming from. It feels like we are living in, and this is the curmudgeon in me coming out right now, Jan, but it feels like we're living in this world where no one wants to make a sales call anymore. And even if you're not a salesperson, no one wants to make a marketing call or a customer service call. Everything is done via some form of text, and we're missing out on these conversations. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think with the advent of email, prior to that, the only way that you could solicit for new business was to get on the phone and get through that gatekeeper, get that decision maker on the phone and ask for an appointment. Or if it wasn't face-to-face, ask to send information or just try to find out if there was potential to do business. And so with the advent of email, people began to, and even fax machine. Once we had the fax machine, then we no longer had to pick up the phone. We could just do a mass fax blitz out to our prospects, and then they would call us or they would fill out the order form and send the fax the order form back. So we began to erode that art of the conversation and learning how to pick up the phone, how to talk to people, what to say, how to generate interest. And so we've gotten, in younger generations have grown up with email being such a part of their life that I don't think that they've learned those skills of getting on the phone and having a conversation. And it's my belief that ultimately, regardless of the way that you come in contact with a potential buyer, whether that is through social media or ads or a billboard or a website, ultimately, in most cases, it comes down to a conversation. And so I want to shout from the rooftops to have people pick up that phone and don't be afraid to make a phone call anymore, because it's not dead and it's not taboo. So it's still legal to pick up the phone and call people. So.
For now. Yeah. So let's start there for people who, and I'll be the devil's advocate for right now. So many people say, yeah, but no one answers the phone anymore. I can call and call and call and no one answers the phone, especially if they don't recognize my name or phone number, or in some salespeople's case, maybe when they do recognize your name and phone number, they don't answer. So what do you say to people who give that as an excuse of no one is actually going to answer the phone, so why am I calling?
Sure, and I hear that. Statistics show, and this is coming from the RAIN Group, who did some research on cold call prospecting, that 69% of the buyers actually have accepted a cold call from a salesperson in the last 12 months. So if roughly 70 people, and this is fresh, this is from August of this year, of 2019, if we know that 70%, so let's just say that 3 out of 4 have actually accepted a cold call, then I think that tells us it's worth picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Myself, I'm not a big proponent of leaving messages, because I don't think that they'll take the time to call back unless they really are in the position to have the need for what you have. So ultimately, we've got to get people on that phone. So it just means committing the time to get actually doing the dials to get to that point where they will answer the phone. And there's little tricks of the trade, Jack, you know, calling a little bit earlier in the morning.
Yes. Maybe before especially staff if you're, in. Yeah, especially if you're trying to reach a more senior level person, it feels to me like, you know, 7:30, 8:30 in the morning, that's when you want to get people before their day turns into, you know, putting out fires.
Absolutely. and the same thing after the rest of the staff has gone home at 5:30, then catching often a business owner or again a senior person, you may catch them at the office trying to get some things done at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. So it's not my go-to, but trying to catch them early or late if I just am not getting them on the phone. And this is assuming it's to an office, to a physical location.
Yeah.
Catching them later and just letting them know, hey, I thought I might catch you later since I haven't been able to catch you. You're so busy during the middle of the workday. And often you have their undivided attention, so you're able to get through and again, start that initial conversation.
I like that idea, too, of trying to get someone live and what you said about not leaving a voicemail, because where I agree with you and others that it's so important to reach people over the phone. I also think voicemail is, it's almost disrespectful now. So many people just don't even check their voicemail. So if I leave you a voicemail and you have to go in and see who left me a voicemail and clear it out, it's almost like I just did a little bit of damage to the relationship. So I do like that idea of calling. They can see that you called, right? Every phone on earth has caller ID to some extent, so they know you called, but not bothering them with a voicemail, and then try them again in however many days. Do you have a sort of a formula of when after the first cold call you didn't get through, when you would try them again? Is it tomorrow? Is it a week from now? Any thoughts on that?
I think some of that depends on if there's been any prior contact. So in some cases, I might have someone who is, I've had a conversation with them. They are an interested buyer. The timing's not right. Or yeah, they're not at a place where they're actually looking at buying my services at that point. I always leave that call with some clear next step. So if they say, well, we're just not looking right now, or we're good for this year or this season. Obviously, being a professional speaker, it's an annual type of thing. So they may say, you know what, we've already selected our speakers for this year or next year, but we'll start our speaker selection in the fourth quarter, or in October is when we'll start looking at the next year. So I have the agreement with that individual before we get off the phone that I'll take the responsibility to reach back out to them at that point. So if I have someone that I've already had some contact and there's some interest there, then in those situations, I might leave a message because we actually have had contact.
Yeah.
But other than that, to answer that question, you know, if it's someone, if I believe that it's a very hot opportunity, I may end up calling that person twice a day. Mm-hmm. So trying them in the morning and then later in the afternoon and daily until I actually get them to answer the phone. So I'm not leaving messages all those times, but I'm just at least trying to hit them in that sweet spot when I actually catch them there at their office. And then just trying different times of the day, different days of the week to actually get them. I find, and I encourage people that I coach, is Monday mornings. Everyone's getting their caffeine in them or their Red Bull or whatever kind right. of caffeine energy drink they're getting into their system after the weekend. And often they've not set a 9 a.m. meeting. And so it's easy to catch those folks sitting there in the office and they're getting their week ready and you catch them early. So to be that early bird to get that worm on that Monday morning, same thing with Friday afternoons, you know, historically happy hour for salespeople on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
But I say, well, while the others are at the bar drinking, why don't you, you know, make that call at 4:30 on Friday when no one else, when the phone's not ringing.
Yeah.
And things are winding down for the weekend. So just being a little more strategic about when you're making the calls.
Yeah, I think that really helps. And I see people doing the same with emails. And I don't know if it works anymore because people are just barraged with a legitimate email communication from you or me versus, you know, the 5,000 mass emails that they get, you know, through some marketing system throughout the week. And right. and your legitimate, honest email outreach to a potential business partner or client is just going to get lost in all of the spam that they get. And you may actually become considered part of that spam. So the people who've been hiding behind emails for years and avoiding calls, I think maybe this is sort of a new era of going back to the phone call, mostly because no one else is doing it or very few people are doing it. And you can actually stand out and maybe rise above the email noise right now.
I agree. I think it's a little bit of a lost art. And because people aren't dialing so often, it's now you are now unique in that way because so many people are getting emails that they're using for their prospecting, their primary prospecting tactic. And so to get on the phone and actually have a conversation and get them on the phone makes you a little bit unique. So
what do you think of a combination of like email and phone call? I've seen some people do this very effectively where are you suggesting maybe make a phone call first and tell someone you're going to follow up with an email, or maybe email first is a little bit of air cover. So when you do call in, maybe they recognize your name. Any thoughts on any combination or tactic with that?
Good question. And I think in some cases it depends on what you're selling and who you're selling to. So sometimes I work for salespeople that don't even know if they're actually talking with a decision maker, if they're talking with the right person to buy their product or service. So I feel I'm probably a purist when it comes to that, Jack, because one of my sayings is anything between a conversation between me and the decision maker could be a barrier. Doesn't mean that it is a barrier, but it could be a barrier. And so that could be that email of, no, I don't need any of that today, delete. If I can get someone on the phone, then I can begin to ask those questions to determine, to uncover that they have issues with their current state of affairs. I'll just keep it very, very generic, but that there's some reason that they have to continue to talk with me further by uncovering things that might not be working. So I can do that because it is a conversation, and a conversation requires two people talking, whereas the email is a one-way communication where you're talking at someone. You could still ask those same questions, but you're not getting any of that feedback from that buyer because it's not a conversation where the two of you can talk further. So that's, you know, my method is, and I have a process for that. If I should share that now,
please.
That I call it, it's called ARC, A-R-C. And the A stands for just covering the agenda and the time. Mm-hmm. So what is the purpose of the call and how much time do you need? The R stands for the role, the roles and responsibilities. What role will you play in this conversation? What role will I play in this conversation? And then the last one is the C, and that's for the clear next steps, which I mentioned before. What exactly is going to happen next? When? By whom? How? Et cetera. Just covering all of those bases to know what the next step is in the process. So for me, to give you an example, on a cold call, I might call someone, and when they answer the phone, and here's my other number one tip is don't say, how are you? That is dead giveaway. If you want to get hung up on, give yourself away as a cold calling salesperson and say, hi, how are you? And
hi, how are you? I hope this phone call finds you well.
It's, you know, I get cold calls to my office often, and, you know, they'll ask, hi, how are you today? And my response, quite frankly, is, I'm busy running a small business. How can I help you?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for calling to ask. Bye. Yeah.
So I believe in good sales karma. I do take the call, Jack, but I do make it short and sweet once we determine, because often it's just funding or they want cleaning services, just things I simply don't need. I don't want to waste their time, and I always wish them the best of luck. Right. But so I believe we can be polite to people. But when someone picks up that phone, I don't say, hi, how are you? If you answer the phone, I would say, Jack, Jan Spence here. I understand you're the person that hires speakers for your annual 2020 conference in Miami. Can I take just 30 seconds and tell you the purpose of my call? And then you let me know if we should continue to talk.
Okay, so you got the agenda in there and you got the time expectation, 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Great.
And people and the roles really are, I'm just going to share with you what the purpose of my call is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm giving them the power by them, if it makes sense, if this is of interest, you tell me if we talk further. So I'm giving that power to that person on the other end of the line. And people, it works, Jack, because people will give you 30 seconds. The responses I get are, sure. I will get sometimes, you've got 29 seconds now. And then I know I've got kind of a jokester. And you also know
that they're paying attention. They actually listen to what you said. So that's good.
And then I will respond to that and I'll say, I talk fast, so listen closely. And then, so no, we're already having a little bit of fun banter.
Yeah.
And then I can clearly articulate the reason for my call in that time frame. And then I ask for an appointment, whether it's, should we continue to talk? Are you indeed the person I should be talking to? What's your process? Or lead to some sort of next step. So, and then the other one is sometimes I will get them, they will say, I'm actually on a conference call on the other line, or I have someone in my office right now. Can you call me back in 10 minutes, 2 o'clock? I'm boarding a plane. I've had that one. So sometimes there's a legitimate, but then the clear next step is, when is the best time to call you?
Yeah. And then when that call happens, it's really warm because you've already gone through that, you know, agenda. We already are on almost, you know, the second date here already. And so you've just, that's a major breakthrough to even get someone to say, I can't talk right now, but how about next Tuesday? Or, you know what, I'm not really the right person. You really need to talk to Jimmy. And that's, to me, that's golden because now I have an in with Jimmy, right?
Yep. Absolutely. And now Jimmy knows that you just spoke with the CEO. And now the call to Jimmy is, Jimmy, Jan Spence here, Mr. CEO or Ms. CEO said we should talk. Can I take 30 seconds to tell you the purpose of the call? And you tell me if we should talk now or if we should set a phone appointment later.
And their answer is going to be, the CEO said, I better talk to this person, right? So
100%. So they're all ears because you've been rolled downhill a little bit. So that's the process, the ARC method. And I do that with all calls, just clarifying how much time. And another little insider tip for your listeners would be to be very specific about the time and to honor that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will say, can I take a minute of your time? Well, I don't have enough time. I don't have any extra time to give to anyone. So you certainly can't take it. So saying, can I take a minute of your time? You know, taking that away, but you're just saying, can I take 30 seconds to tell you what I do? But you're not saying, can I take 30 seconds of your time? Because that feels like someone's encroaching on someone else's time.
Yeah, I get that. There's a feeling there. Sure.
And or just to say, can I take a minute? But sales speak, a minute means, oh my goodness, you're going to have me on the phone for half an hour.
Right, right.
So now this is very specific.
Okay. Love
30
that.
30 seconds, 60 seconds. So it's that power of the word, and just framing it that way gets elicits a different response as opposed to, may I take a few minutes of your time? That's going to get a, no way, I know you're making a sales call, but can I just take 30 seconds to tell you why I called? You tell me if we talk further. Sometimes they'll pause and I almost get a reluctant, sure. You know, what do you got? What are you offering? What are you selling? But at least it's that they have opened that door for me to speak and articulate. And quite frankly, somebody, you get the curmudgeon every now and then, and it will stop me midstream. And at that point, I know my script so well that I'm able to say, you know what? I haven't finished the 30 seconds. I'm just now getting to the good part. And then I keep on going.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little gut. Cold calling is not for the, for the weak and weary.
Right.
By no means.
You know,
so
something,
you gotta have something, some service.
Something you said earlier about getting that instant feedback. It occurs to me that some of that feedback could be a great big fat no, right? It could be someone who says, mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Jan, we already booked all of our speakers for next month's conference. You know, thanks, but no thanks, you know, absolutely not. Or even, we're not even doing a conference this year. Everything's canceled. Forget it. And I think when it comes to sales calls, sometimes there's nothing better than a no, an honest no from a prospect.
Sure.
Who, if you were just lobbing emails in once a week, they're not going to respond and tell you that. So you think you still have a legitimate prospect, and you know there's still someone that's in your pipeline or forecast or whatever. And you know, sometimes the best thing you can get is a no, and it's like, great, I'm going to move on and find some other
sure.
people to partner with. So I think that's something else that that you don't get in emails or all of these horrible LinkedIn messages that we all get now from people who are
yeah.
just lining up my LinkedIn inbox with. You know, you haven't responded to my first 75 messages, so I thought I'd try you one more time. Thank you. Right. So I think actually getting somebody live on the phone so they can tell you no, that's not a bad thing for a professional salesperson.
Agreed. And that happens. So sometimes with organizations, they only use industry speakers and they're not going to bring someone from outside. So to know that, cross that off the list and move on is beneficial. As can you imagine continuing to send them email after email and marketing pieces
yeah.
when they're just not prospects.
And many salespeople do. They think they've got a live one because they haven't received a stop emailing me message. So, so Jan, real quick, I wanted to ask you, all of the consulting and the work you do, are you doing this kind of sales coaching with clients now? Is that part of your program?
It is. So a good percentage of my business is keynoting at conferences and talk about lots of areas of business growth, including networking, goal setting, employee engagement. But often they will hear me, they'll appreciate my energy from the stage. And that business owner will say, you know what, I think you could help my people. Can you come talk to them for an hour and fix them? And
yeah.
and pretty much that, I said, no, I can't fix your entire team's multi-layered communication issues in an hour. And we end up doing some consulting work. And then often that surrounds itself with processes, business processes, people understanding the communication styles, getting the right people in the right place within their company, and then, of course, sales. So I do some sales coaching one-on-one with individuals within companies, and then some that just are people that are looking to invest in themselves and take their sales and prospecting game to the next level. So we work on these blocking and the tackling and getting those basics in place. And a lot of that just is how to get on the phone, taking the fear out of it, giving them a process so that they make sure that cold call prospecting time is effective.
Excellent.
Yes, definitely.
I want to get some contact information from you in case anybody is interested in learning some more about that. But first, one quick note. We talk frequently on this show about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation. And there's no one who does that better than brand journalists. I've known these guys for over a decade, and they've become one of the most experienced and successful franchise development marketing firms in the industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and help Fran Dev Pros recruit over 10,000 franchise owners. And they do it using my favorite method, great storytelling on websites, on targeted digital marketing and other places. So if you need a little help growing an emerging brand, or you want to breathe some life into an older legacy brand, or you just want to rise above the noise, talk to brand journalists. They'll give you a free audit of your website and a free development marketing audit as well. Check them out at brandjournalists.com www.jansspence.com. Okay, Jan Spence, thank you so much for joining me here on Social Geek today. If our listeners would like to learn more about your speaking engagements, your consulting, your coaching, maybe some football stories, where can they find you and connect with you?
The easiest place is to go to janspence.com. There's contact form there, email, phone numbers. I think everything but carrier pigeon. You can get a hold of me, my YouTube channel, all that good stuff. So, yes, Jan Spence, and that's, of course, JANSPENCE.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here today, and I look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Jack.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.